This week is a good one, guys. I've got one of my good mates on, John J.C. Curtis. If you don't know him, he's an exceptional human, born with a severe disability that rendered him a double amputee. Mate, don't pity this guy. He's about resilience. He's got his trainer with him, Mark Matthew. We're going to talk about how they beat the shit out of each other each week. How do you train, John? I don't even really like the idea of going to train with him. Let's talk about how he motivates the world.
Welcome to the Body Science Podcast, bringing you everything you need, want, and should know about health, fitness, nutrition, and training. As always, the information contained in this podcast is for the information purposes only and is not designed to diagnose or be prescriptive to treat, prevent, or manage any injury, disease, or other health-related condition. Today's podcast is brought to you by Hydroxyburn Clinical, the powerful brain-boosting cortisol-reducing thermogenic formula formulated to optimize your day, improve productivity, assist weight management, and combat the negative effects of daily stress. Hydroxyburn Clinical contains a clinically trialed dose of Blue Ness, an innovative extract that comes from a special type of lemon balm grown only in Bavaria, Germany, and proven by in vitro studies, human studies, and phytochemical investigation to have positive effects in less than an hour. Hydroxyburn Clinical is your key to reduced cortisol and stress levels, mental focus and cognitive function, high performance memory, activating your metabolism. What does this mean? If cortisol is reduced, the metabolism is activated to burn fat, which supports the formula's thermogenic effect. Two tablets every morning after food to boost more than your mood in as little as 1 hour.
Welcome to Body Science HQ, the home of fit, happy and healthy. This week, I have two very extraordinary people.
Two, one and a half, get it right.
One and a half, well, the big mouth is John J.C. Curtis. And if you want to look John up, at John Curtis, C-O-U-T-I-S. Yes, that's his Insta. That's your Insta.
That's my Insta.
Mate, don't jump in whenever you're ready.
Hey, okay, or John Curtis. Or John,
he's never usually short
for words.
Seriously,
yeah, I know. Never usually short for words.
Or johncurtis.com.
johncurtis.com. And with him, we've got Mark Matthew, owner of Wicked Bods Fitness Center, I should say. That's the website center for everyone. And if you're looking to have a chat with Mark later, it's at Matthew Wicked Bods. Yep. Is your Insta account.
Yeah, yeah.
Guys, the reason we got these two together, JC is a good friend of ours. We turned 18 a year ago. He was a man we got in to come and talk to our team. We love him. He's been such sucking down certain parts of our sups for a long time.
Still haven't made me grow legs like the promise.
We're bringing out the leg one soon, mate.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
The reason we've put this together, like, if you want to see JC talk, go and pay for it. But on the podcast today, we've got him with Mark. Mark's his trainer. And you might wonder, how do you train JC? And I'm not just talking about his personality there. I'm talking about, you know, the physical aspects of training. John would be something that would be quite difficult, Mark. What made you take that project on?
Not so much difficult, Greg. It's not so much difficult. It's just limitations. A lot of people put limitations on themselves. JC's probably puts less limitations on himself than what an able person would. Mate, we put our heads together and come up with a few different things. And we
should see his box.
Yeah. My box.
Well, you want to expand on that at all?
Well, you want to elaborate? You want to elaborate on that?
Look, one of the
tell
things
me something I don't know.
One of the things that I love about Mark is that he's ready to try something different. Okay, he literally thinks outside the square, and you don't get many trainers, whether you're training able-bodied athletes or spazos like myself, will think that way. Mark will think literally outside the box and come up with these things. And while it's grueling and punishing for me, I absolutely love it and I enjoy it. And you know, we might do it for a week, we might do it for 2 weeks, and then he'll chop it up.
He puts no limitations on himself either.
Absolutely.
Whatever I try and throw at him within reason, he'll do it. Whether someone has to stand up and do something, he'll lay on his back and do it. He'll do something completely the flip side of what anyone else would do it, but he just makes it work.
Like the ropes. You know, we do the ropes. You've got a rope at each end and you'll whip them.
I've seen that on your Instagram, mate. The normal
upside down on a box.
Backwards.
You know, backwards, overhead. Like, you know, if you think that's easy, people, try it. Go and try it.
Well, there's a reason when you asked me to come and train with you that I didn't come. And
still.
Yeah, you still haven't come. What the hell?
You've been booked in about 19 times.
I've had about like 60 of staff come along with me, and the boss, our mate, is still dogging it on me.
Last minute too, last minute.
Yeah, always last minute.
Never going to do that night before.
Yeah.
For those of you that don't know, John was born without the lower part of your body. Do you want to tell us a bit about that, mate?
Oh, no, I had my legs. You had... Yeah, they were all deformed and bent out of shape, a bit like your nose. And I chose, they never
like
ever
were. Frog's legs.
They were like frog's legs. All the knees, that my hips were inverted and my legs put out sideways instead of down.
Okay.
And they went across another half a body on each side. And that's where the kneecap was. All the skin was webbed and brought my feet back around to meet almost perfectly in the middle, right in front of me. And 1 month before my 18th birthday, I decided to... off they go and got rid of them. So the feeling was very limited that I had. At that stage of my life, it was the best decision I've ever made. Straight down the butcher shop on the bandsaw, off they went. Then I took them home and gave them to the dog, and he loved them. You know,
I'm sure when you speak to your... And look, for those that don't know, John has spoken alongside US President Bill Clinton, Richard Branson, and even the late Nelson Mandela, mate. Yeah. So you are well known for talking about your story.
Yeah. Look, I've been very fortunate, Greg, to share the stage with some very high-profile people, some very well-known people. Look, I love it. I think what I like the most about it is that every time I get up on stage, I'm out of my comfort zone. We'll never know exactly what we can get out of ourselves and out of our bodies and out of our minds unless we can push ourselves or do push ourselves out of that comfort zone. So many people get relaxed. So many people get easy. Like even for me coming here today, I was out of my comfort zone coming up those 605 stairs that you had for me.
Yeah, we normally do these downstairs, mate.
Yeah, so. Thanks. Yeah. Waited until I got all the way to the top. There was no mattress at the bottom in case I fell, nothing. There was no safety net. Just get up there, you dog. So.
And they used to have carpet on the stairs.
That's exactly right. It's about getting out of that comfort zone, you know, physically, mentally, socially, to really push yourself.
And is that how you two got connected? Like you thought one day I want to do a little bit more, I want to be trained, or did you just walk into each other? Did you know each other?
I used to do a lot of training many, many years ago.
You were quite strong on the bench, weren't you?
I was, yeah. I was competition weight. I was weighing 39.2 and I was benching 145.
Strength's something he doesn't lack.
Yeah, yeah.
But and when you carry yourself around on your hands your whole life, I guess you want to be strong.
So you were 39 kilos benching what?
145.
Wouldn't be many people looking at those type of odds when you put that out.
No. Well, I mean, we went to the com games that were on. Great, thanks to Tom Tate to put the com games on here. And I went and watched the weightlifting, the Paralympic weightlifting that was on. And the guys here that were weighing, there was two classes. It was under 75s and over 75s. And the guys that were under 75s, they were benching like 210.
Wow. It's incredible. Yeah, it's incredible,
really
feat.
Amazing. Really, really amazing.
That's raw strength.
Too, absolutely. Yeah. But look, Leanne, actually, we moved down.
Leanne's wife.
Leanne, my beautiful wife. We moved down here to the Goldie 3.5 years ago and we were looking for a gym. And she went for a walk and found Wicked Bods on the top of Max Brenner. What a great place to have a gym on the box of a... On the top of a chocolatier. And she went up there and had a look and she came back and she said, geez, I just went to this gym and met this guy who's an ex-rugby league player. And of course, I have a big passion in rugby league. And she said, you should go and see him. And well, I went and saw him, you know, and bang, we've just been mates and training ever since. Yeah.
Mark, you've been very vocal about qualifications and people in the industry. I had a bit of a look yesterday. Mm. Do you want to touch on that? Like,
I'm just super passionate about the industry. Like, there's probably not a lot of people that stick in the industry as long as what I have. I don't think I've been in there 21 years or 22 years now just to watch it change has been it's been quite strange to watch it change over the period of time. It used to be quite difficult to get qualified when we were there back in the day. Yep. It'd take you 6 months and you had to cover everything. I had to be aerobics instructor and a gym instructor and a fitness instructor, all an aqua aerobics instructor, all in one, you know. But now, you know, you do a 2-week course, you know, you've got the same qualifications what I have over that period of years. It's
you look like an aerobics instructor.
Yeah.
That's
right. In Lycra, I look a lot more like one. But no, it's just, and I think social media has brought the you know, it's changed a lot as well. It's changed a lot of perception of the fitness industry. I care about the consumer. I don't care about the trainers so much. I just don't like people. You know, you've got to do a 4-year apprenticeship to cut someone's hair. You've got to do a 4-year apprenticeship to cook someone bacon and eggs, you know, as a chef. Yet you can do a 1 or 2 week online course and call yourself a fitness professional. Like, it's not fair for the consumer because the average person doesn't know, you know. I just try and encourage more people to ask people for their qualifications and show what they've done and try. I can't change the industry on my own, even though I'd love to, but yeah, there's a lot of holes in it. It's the governing body's fault. It's not the trainer's fault. It's just, you know, it's a money thing. There's just so much money involved now with the education side of it that they're just pumping them out like it's no tomorrow.
Yeah, it's like these backyard pop-ups, Greg. You know, there's backyard pop-up mechanics, there's backyard pop-up of, you know, like hairdressers, as Mark said. And are you going to go and take your car that you love, that's your pride and joy, that gets you from A to B, to a backyard pop-up? Are you going to take it to a qualified mechanic? Your body's got to be the same. Are you going to go to someone who's had their qualifications or got their qualifications in 2 weeks, or go to someone that knows the industry, that knows the business? I know where I would much rather be, and it's not a backyard pop-up.
So, Mark, you started playing rugby league, as you touched on before, John.
Yep.
Who'd you play for?
I was taken from the country when I was a young fella, from a little country town called Milton Ulladulla down in New South Wales. I was taken out of there when I was 15, 16, and went up to the Roosters, played a couple of years in the Roosters. And then,
he's loving this weekend.
Yeah, this year's good. I still love the Roosters. And then I went to Super League. I was the only Roosters junior that Super League signed. Probably the worst thing I'd done. Great year for a career, probably wasn't the best. And played the year in 1997 with Super League with Cronulla, and then I went over to Souths after that, and that's the year we got kicked out of the comp. Yeah, so then I went up to contractor problems through that and went up and played a year in the Mackay competition. That was supposed to be the toughest, probably the toughest football I've ever played in my life, actually, up there. I know a few players and a few people that know rugby league, some ex-players, Luke Reynoldson and a few of those boys, they were in there that year as well, and they were comparing it, if not putting it above, you know, the reserve grade in the big leagues that stage. So I had a year up there and then linked with the Cowboys, and then, yeah, it's done my knee, had three knee reconstructions straight, one after the other up there.
That'll slow you down?
Yeah, it doesn't help.
Fuck
it
me, I'm bad.
I wanted to borrow one off JC, but his was no good either. So,
so mate, you've had quite an exciting career when it comes to, and I mean, there's a long way to go, but you've.
I don't know how there's not much longer to go, Greg.
We'll talk about what you're doing soon, actually, in relation to changing the world. You found yourself at one of UK's most exclusive health clubs in Kensington?
I did, yeah. That was I'd finished football, and I started doing this with football as well. You know, when I went to the Roosters, they make you do something to further career, you know, if you do get in trouble. So that's how I got into the gym side of it in the first place. Then when sort of my career finished, I tried to get away from football for a little while. So I went over to Perth for 6 months, worked in a gym over there, and then come back, and it still done my head in a little bit. So I went to Japan then and lived over in Japan for 12 months and done some training and ran a club over there, actually ran a strip club over there for 12 months, which was quite interesting.
That's when I learned to do the half month.
Working for the Yakuza. But then I come back and I moved to Brisbane, actually, to get right back into the career again, and had an offer then from a gym over in the UK, which was Holmes Place Kensington at that stage, and it was classified as the number one gym in the whole of the UK. That and Chelsea Club sort of were the two then. So yeah, I went over there and it sort of changed my life forever over there. Yeah, we had some great people in our gym. They're only human. I didn't treat them any different than what I'd treat anyone else. It's we had everyone from Madonna to, you know, Reese Witherspoon to Jim Carrey to Elle to Adam Clayton to everyone in that gym. So it was it was a great experience, and I got a lot of travel through those four and a half years. I travelled a lot with clients and got to see a bit of the world, and made a hell of a lot more money than what I make now. But you know, the pound was 3-1 then, so I paid to charge £60 an hour then, so it was $180 an hour. So
nice.
When you're making $180 an hour and doing 60 sessions a week with no overheads, it's not that hard to save a bit of money. So.
Jeez, what brought you back to Australia?
The weather. Believe
weather?
It or not.
Yeah,
really?
Solely.
Yeah.
Solely the weather. Yeah.
Well,
I just,
that's the point, isn't
it? I sat down at the bottom of the stairs at the gym, and I used to just play little games with myself and watch people walk down the stairs. And we were right next door to Kensington Palace, so we had some windows, but just I felt like I was becoming one of them. It was just miserable. Yeah, just there was just nothing to be excited about. So yeah, I couldn't. That's the only reason I come to the coast, because I said I'd never live up here, because I like to come up here for holidays. But yeah, after living in rain for 4 years, it was summer's fine. Summer's good. You travel all over Europe. It's awesome. Spent 9 weeks a year in Ibiza with clients and Copenhagen with clients. But the winter, you know, I like to travel with clients with the snow and stuff like that. You're sort of just a babysitter, really. So
how are you training these clients when you travel? Are you hitting hotels with gyms? Are you getting out?
Just a lot of functional stuff. Depending on who you're with. But yeah, majority of it functional stuff. And there's gyms everywhere we go. There's gyms in Ibiza, and you know, there's gyms in Copenhagen and stuff like that. But a lot of functional stuff. Depends who you're training and what they want to do as well. A lot of them don't want to do too much. But.
Well, can I ask you about that? Can I ask you about the gyms in like Ibiza and Copenhagen? Are they like body beautiful? So do they train? They don't train like we train. Or are they more like mirrored stairs and stuff like that?
You mean the people in the, like the local people in the gyms over there?
The
gyms, yeah, although they come from everywhere.
Yep.
So there's a vast majority of people. If you look at someone like Ibiza in Spain, they're from everywhere, you know. So,
right,
so but you look at somewhere like that, that's very materialistic there. There's definitely some beautiful people in there.
You been there, mate?
No, mate, I haven't. I'm not beautiful enough to get to Ibiza. Yeah.
Let's talk about training JC, mate. How do you look at that? Like, you meet JC. The reason I'm harping on this, I know that you've done some really good things in the past with car crash victims and a whole lot of things down that path. You're obviously very educated. What I want to tell you is, like, for someone who's, you know, a young, inspiring PT or trainer, and someone like JC walks in, I mean, sorry, I fucked that up.
It's
JC,
like, looking at me.
I've seen you. Rolls on in.
What are you saying? He's put on weight.
You're losing at every angle here.
How many days were you away?
Yeah, too many. 7 weeks.
Okay, well, there's got to be four or five kilos in that.
Yeah, there is.
So how do you look at someone like JC? And I mean, for the average fitness guy, a lot of PTs are struggling not to be on their own phone when they're training someone, let alone, and I don't mean that in a negative way.
No, it is negative. Don't worry about it.
I've done a lot of talking to a lot of people recently. obviously, and they want to get that out of the industry. JC walks in, though, and, you know, you got the first thing I'd be thinking is, oh, my God, how do I do this? Like, what? And then I'd like to talk about how you two actually work together to get that plan, because, I mean, it can't be just your plan, Mark. It's got to be a joint plan.
No, that's for sure. Mm-hmm.
So how do you look at someone like JC who's – and you're lucky. The guy is so motivational. If anyone ever gets to speak
Again, you speak about limitations. Yeah.
What's your YouTube channel called?
John Kudis.
Get on board, have a listen. You'll understand what we're talking about here. But how do you address someone like John coming in?
Over the year, and I think that's the big problem with the industry, is that, getting back to what we spoke about before, they're doing these online courses, and then they don't further their career any which way.
Yep.
And then so they're probably actually becoming a worse trainer as they go on. And then the longevity of it's not very long anyway, you know. Yep. So if they get to 5 years, they're out. But I've spent a lot of time and been lucky with the clubs in London to get a lot of education throughout America and the UK, and I'm forever trying to continue to, you know, to learn as well. So that side of it is just, it's good for me. It's a challenge for me to see someone like JC. It scares me not 1 ounce. You know, it's I can come up with things. It's just a matter, and he's got no limitations. So it's just a matter of physically if we can do it. There's been a heap of things that we've tried to do that we can't, because we're both a bit crazy. But
yep.
It's you know, sometimes we think we can do more than what we can, but that's all the fun of it.
And what are you looking to get out of a trainer, John?
Oh, well, obviously fitness and health is the main thing. I mean, let's face it, arms aren't built to carry your body around.
Yep.
You know, they're not legs. I'm nearly 50. I just turned 49, and I think that my arms have done extremely well, considering the only injury that I've really had in my arms is that I've done my ligaments in my right thumb many years ago, but I've broken my left elbow twice. And
shit, that would have slowed you down.
It absolutely did, mate. Slowed
me down. He went around in circles a lot.
Yeah, I couldn't swim or anything. It was terrible. So it really was very, very challenging for me. But, you know, I thank God and touch wood, I stay away from those injuries where my shoulders don't pack in, you know, my elbows and wrists stay as healthy as they can be. I do have a little bit of an issue with my neck, and that's because I'm looking up at everybody all the time, the angle that I'm looking up. I remember the first time that I met Nelson Mandela. You know what he did, Greg? One of the very first things he did was he actually came up and sat on the floor with me. Less than 1% of people will come up and sit on the floor with me, so I'm always looking up at them. I mean, if you look at Mark, he's a strapping young lad. You know, he's well and truly over 6 foot, and the closer he is to me, the bigger the angle that is for me to look up. Yeah. See, so I think that's why my voice is so, because I'd much rather
provide you. I provide you with a good view a lot of the time, though.
So I would much rather be, you know, 4 or 5 foot away and boom my voice out, rather than.
Do you prefer to look where you're looking at me majority of the time, or my head?
Your head.
Right.
Most certainly. Sweet. Yeah, not the little pinhead. You know,
for those of you that don't know, majority of the time I'm actually straddling JC, standing over the top.
Absolutely.
Of him.
You know, there was one time there in the summer, it was a freaking hot day, and your sweat was dripping down on top of me, dripping into my face. It was absolutely gross.
He was licking his mouth.
Yeah, right. And then I had a look, and he actually didn't wear any jocks that day and was teabagging me. You know, his crusty nuts were hanging out.
He thought the sweat was coming off his forehead.
Absolutely gross.
He thought the sweat was coming off his forehead, but it wasn't.
But look, for Mark to do what he does and the way that he trains me, and if you guys want to get onto my YouTube channel or check out my Instagram at John Kudis, there are many videos on there of me boxing and doing other things and what Mark has in store for me. And they are very educational. I mean, even you sent me a video the other day of a young black fella with no legs doing box jumps.
That was incredible.
Absolutely
Ask Joel how it is.
I mean, that's right. Joel, JD, the word.
Come and struggle.
He come and train with me. Ask him. He really struggled to do it. Roscoe,
yep.
Come and train with me. He struggled. And this is why you won't come, because we know you're going to struggle.
I've watched too many videos.
But no, look, in all fairness, I'm going to put the challenge out now. So make sure, Morgs, that this goes on. Okay, I'm going to put the challenge out
again.
You now, youngie. I want you to come and train with me so you know what it's like.
And we've brought a Bosu ball and everything in with us.
But I want you to come and have a go. Just one time. I want you to come and have a go so you can see what it's like, so you know, so you can appreciate, like, when you do your garage sessions.
Why don't we just get him to climb up the
it's
stairs?
It's not actually afraid of, JC, just so you know.
It's Max Preston. That's not too bad, Joe. But, you know, look,
I'll wear undies that day.
Yeah, I'm very happy. And look, Mark and I have struck up a really good mateship as well, and that's what forms in these situations, you know. So for Mark to get out of his comfort zone, because it's not easy for him either. I mean, he's bending down over the top of me.
Yeah, but positions you're not used to too, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. Like his diaphragm.
Used to.
Yeah. Like his diaphragm, because he's leaned over, you know, holding the pad. pads in front of me. His diaphragm can't open up.
Do you want to explain properly what you're doing here? Like when you're talking about this, like what are you doing when you're boxing?
I'm laying on a Bosa ball and I've got boxing gloves on. Mm-hmm. And Mark's got the, what do you call them, pads, mitts? Mitts on, and he gives me combinations and stuff like that.
I lock my feet under JC's.
Under my stumps,
under
to hold
stumps,
me in position.
To hold him where he is.
And then we get into it. He gives me combinations and stuff like that. And then also he hits me.
I've seen him give you combinations. He's not gentle.
Oh, no,
he gets not happy if I'm gentle.
No, I'm not.
I've seen when you've dropped your arms a couple of times, you bring them back up pretty quickly.
Yeah, I tell him, if you're going to hit me, fucking hit me.
He does. Yeah, I've seen that, yeah.
You know, don't treat me like I'm a spazzo. Freaking get into me. I'm one of your mates, you know. Yeah. And I mean,
you're so going to go and bash me, mate.
Yeah. But I mean, if you do that in the gym, I mean, you know, you duck and weave and bob. Obviously, I can't do any of that. So I've got to brace myself. That's all core workout. You know, it's all balance. It's all core. And I really like, so I go home, I've got a few bruises. Who cares? I've enjoyed myself.
Yeah.
And that's what it's about. And for Mark, as I said, to get out of his comfort zone.
The hardest thing for me is which I don't usually make too many mistakes, but if I do, he smacks me in the balls.
Yeah, I do. That's a little
every
thing.
Every time.
Every time he puts up, then bang. Flick him in the dick.
Oh, look, we're the same height.
Yeah.
He's actually struck up a pretty good relationship with it.
Yeah, I have. The dick flick.
Two heads facing one another.
Yeah.
So are you guys training when everyone else is training? You're doing special sessions? How's this work?
He loves it. He loves it when other people, he loves showing off.
Yeah. Never noticed that.
He's comfortable when there's people there. Yeah. And so am I. And it's good. It's good. It's good for everyone.
I find that's good for the other people.
He's been great for he's been great for a lot of people, but even within my gym's a hell of a lot different than other gyms.
Absolutely.
As well. We have, my gym's a community, you know, it's like one big family. It's just not like other gyms. So he, you know, everyone knows everyone by name. They all love JC and no, he's not. There's no pity or anything for him.
Absolutely not.
They know that he goes as hard as what anyone else goes.
And we've had a couple of the boys saying, oh, "Come on, you got to do better." And the next week, I'll make them train with me. And
yeah,
they don't say anything.
Quite a few of them.
Nice.
You know, they zip it up. So
how long are you guys training for when you do train?
45.
And do you want to talk through a basic session with John?
It can be numerous amounts of things. Yeah. If we're doing our strength, it's nearly like you know, the average person's training session.
Except
but
squats.
We don't do many lunges, but it's
ass to the ground.
He's got good technique. Yeah. He sits back in the seat well.
Yeah, dude.
But no, it's whatever you throw at him. We just, it's not a matter of what we do, it's how we do it.
Yeah. That's exactly
so
right.
He can do everything from overhead pulls to cable flies to everything, but it's us making up our little jigs to, you know, to make the bench work and changing a Bosu ball, turn the bench around the other way for him to do flies. He can get on the Smith machine, he can bench press, he can,
you know, dips and all that.
He
sort
can
of stuff,
do dips.
You know?
It's just us. We just play around with it. And if you've got someone like JC that's got no limitations, you just do what you want. The only thing, again, that I said stops us sometimes is physically we just can't do it.
Yeah.
If I told him to do, you know, something that he's not comfortable with, then we just don't do it.
Well, most of the time I'll try. Like I'll
yeah,
try.
That's the worst thing about it. He'll try.
You love
anyway,
training, don't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. He loves challenges.
Yeah. I really do. Like I said to Mark, I want to get myself fit enough, and I'm a long way from it at the moment because I've just been on tour for 7 weeks, but I want to go and do the stairs at Corumba. You know, like I would love to do that. You know, I think, you know, I remember Princey telling me, you know, shit, I've got to go and do the stairs at Corumba. You know how hard they are. I would love to get myself fit enough to be able to go and do those stairs at Currumbin, and then take my, like, time myself to do it, and then in 3 months later go back and do it again and better that time, and then 3 months time go back and do better that time. You know, I want to be able to do all that, because 30 years ago, Greg, you know, you showed me that guy doing those box jumps, I'd be jumping off a table like this. I'd be running up and down those stairs at Currumbin. I mean, my dad, he built a two-story house and put stairs in it without a lift, you know, because they didn't treat me any different, and that's where it all come from.
Yeah, that's
great. Yeah, that's where he gets his attitude from now.
You accept the challenges in front of you. I still remember my dad, you know, if there's an obstacle in front of you, your next action is going to determine what it's be. If you turn around and walk away, it becomes a problem. And the further you walk, the bigger the problem it becomes. But if you stand there and face it, you work a way that you can get around it, get over it, get under it, or now my way, bang, straight through the bloody thing. And that's life. Just get on with it, mate. Get on with it.
He likes to be the same as us. Maybe that's why you smack me on the balls all the time, because you smack yourself on the balls 100 times a day.
How does that work, mate? Like from a medical point of view, you going training, do you have to go see a doctor before you started? Did you just go, fucking, I'm doing it myself? Like,
I got really sick a few years ago. I was in a coma for a month. I actually died.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I didn't even know I was sick. We were living in Brisbane at the time. We were on holidays down here at Burley. And I said to Leanne, it was a Thursday, and I said to Leanne, I just don't feel right. And she said, come on, I'll take you to the hospital. Well, thank God she did. Because if I stayed in the apartment that night, I would have died in the bed next to her. So she took me up to the hospital, and I don't remember anything. For a month, I was in a coma. I died twice. My family was told 8 times that I wouldn't survive. I woke up Christmas Eve, and I woke up to the sounds of what I thought were poker machines.
Jingle bells.
Yeah, I thought I fell asleep in a club somewhere, and they were poker machines. But it was my life support system going off, and that's what it was.
I thought you were going to say something really happy then. I was Santa coming down ringing his bells or something.
Look, my respiratory system has let me down big time. You know, absolutely let me down. My lungs are operating on about 23-24%. So that's why when I sit down, I can't sit up straight like you guys, because I don't have any lower thoracic spine. So it stops at the base of my ribs. So when I sit up straight, my kidneys and my liver get pushed up into my rib cage and into my lungs. So when I sit down, I've got to lean forward. And like I do, like if we go out for dinner, like you've seen plenty of times, that I've got to sit on the table to make it, you know, obviously comfortable for me. Because if we can't breathe, funnily enough, we're fucking dead. So and we just got to do what we got to do. So my biggest challenge is probably my respiratory system. And carrying this extra weight, which I'm doing at the moment, is not good for me. Not good for the respiratory system.
So you guys were joking about the few kilos you put on.
No, I'm very serious.
Were joking about before, but what are you going to do? Like, how do you hit him up? What's the plan here?
Take the Diet Coke off him. Take the Coke off him.
Yeah, it's the
Coke. He's got the same problems as everyone else, but he loves his Coca-Cola.
I haven't had any for a while, which is really good. Since I've been back, I've dropped 3 kilos already. Yep. It's what you put in your mouth. It really
As soon as he makes it, says you don't change nothing, nothing will change. As soon as he comes back and has a bit of accountability, he makes his
accountability, a bit more discipline.
He makes his changes and he's all right. But it's hard for JC to burn calories like everyone else is as well. Like from day to day, you know, he doesn't get those calories burned that we just get walking around all the time. So
for me, my biggest thing I do every day is climb onto chairs, climb onto tables, climb onto the toilet, climb into cars. I climb every day. You know, that's my biggest form of exercise.
Him compared to us, you could probably say that we cardio train all day, the average person, because we walk and things like that. Yep. But he's nearly doing strength all day.
His
cardiovascular is a lot difficult to gain more than his especially with his respiratory system as well. But the boxing's good for his breathing.
You enjoy the boxing?
Absolutely love it.
He loves the boxing.
Absolutely love it. I think it's for me one of the best forms of cardio that I've ever done.
So it's a pretty much a cardio focus for you because he's 98% strength already. Like you do it just a lot of stuff.
We cover a bit of both as well. We dominate with his boxing. He loves it that much, and B, it's for me, I think it's the most important thing that I need to get through to him, because he's as you say, his respiratory system can become a health problem, not a visual problem. So.
Yeah. Look, if I get the slightest cough or wheeze, I'm back up at the hospital straight away.
Okay.
So I really got to look
stronger
after
we can make that.
It must be a tough gig with the travel.
Absolutely, especially airplanes. You get sick all the time on airplanes, you know. So, and you know what makes it good is that my very dear friends here at Body Science, who I honored being an ambassador for, supply me with all my good stuff that I need to make sure that I'm on track. All my vitamins, you know, all the stuff, the bars and the drinks and everything that I need come with me everywhere I go.
When he goes for me, he just goes to pit stop.
Got to stop and have a leak all the time. Now, Huddy's to hang in every car to have a leak all the time.
And Mark, you've got a food planning business. Is that the right word to use there?
I think they're called many different things now. Pre-made meals.
Pre-made meals is a way better way to say that. And you're looking at him from a 360 degree view here. You're doing eating the meals and doing the training.
JC's got to be a little bit more careful what he eats as well.
Yep. Absolutely. You know, I can't just put all this stuff into my body. Because it just comes out. I end up with Johnny Cash.
He has to eat very, very plain food, so the spices and that are probably not that we couldn't cook for him whatsoever, but it's or adapt for him. But yeah, he's sort of got he's very limited in sort of what he eats. So
I'm a very plain eater. I can't run to the toilet like you.
Yeah, because you're constantly on your guts, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
If he ate one of our Szechuan chickens or beefs or something like that, it's no good for him. He'd be days out of action.
And that's not good. I'd lose a bit of weight, but not the right weight.
So what's the next big thing for you two? You're back. You've been away, so... Yep.
Well...
He's been busy.
Yeah.
It's the busiest I've seen him in the 4 or 5 years. I've been
on the road. I've just come back from a 7-week tour. Did more than 70 speaking engagements in 7 weeks. Yeah. You want to chop off your legs and come and join me?
No.
Yeah, I was going to get Joel to come, but he's as weak as water. You wouldn't be able to handle it at all. His beard's too heavy. but I'm actually having a little bit of rest and relaxation from tomorrow. I'm actually being signed on to fish in the Flathead Classic, the Gold Coast Flathead Classic.
Oh, nice.
That's his other passion. He loves his fishing.
I love my fishing terribly. It's
how's your swimming?
I'm like a bloody brick, mate, straight to the bottom.
Yeah. He freaks geeks out too, just quietly. He doesn't like talking about it, but he does.
Okay. Mm.
His wife loves telling the story.
Yeah, of course she does. Bloody ratbag she is.
When you call Shark when he's in the water, he freaks out.
Yeah. Or when I call Shark in the water, everybody gets out and I drag myself out of the water. People shit themselves. Holy crap. You
know? With red tracksuit pants on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, actually, I was at the beach, actually, at Surfers Paradise last summer. I was at the beach and, you know, water's up to my chest. This guy thought it was really deep and dived straight in. You know, he nearly fucking killed
himself. Now he's on tour with him.
But look, I'm fishing the Flathead Classic. Then I got a little bit of time at home and got a few little local gigs and that to do. And then I'm off to Darwin to have a look up there and do a bit of stuff up there.
Yeah, nice.
And come back at the end of the year. Sees me, we fly out to China at the end of the year. I got a 10-week tour over there.
You do a lot in China. What's happening
Absolutely.
Over there?
I got a 10-week tour over there. We're having a White Christmas in Beijing this year. It's going to be extremely good, extremely good. I've just signed a long-term deal or a three-year deal with a company over there to do a lot of educational gigs. That's going to be excellent. Looking forward to that.
Speaking of gigs, you've talked to the Wallabies before games. You've toured with the Australian cricket team. You want to talk a bit about that?
Yep.
Well, some funny stories about you on airplanes, I hear.
Look, we're on our way to South Africa, actually. It was on the way back from South Africa. And, you know, flight hostesses, they can either make you have a great flight or you can have a real shitty flight. You know, it's all about their attitude. And if you get some really good ones, it's a fantastic flight. Anyway, we were sitting on the plane and I just so happened to be sitting next to Swervin, big Mervy Hughes, right? He's a bit of a larrikin. Everybody knows Mervin. He's big moustache. Absolutely can drink. And his hostess comes to us and she's been a bit of a bloody buggy, and she wasn't in a shitty mood, you know.
She had a big day.
She had a big day.
She might have had a big night.
And I said to the boys, look, let's try and put a bloody smile on her face, you know, cheer her up a little bit. What can we do? And all of a sudden it's gone quiet. And I've turned around and I looked at Mervin and he's measuring me with his hands. I thought, what the bloody hell are you doing here? Then he's jumped up and he's pulled the pillows out of the overhead locker, picked me up and shoved me straight in there. And I'm in this overhead locker and I'm in there for 35 minutes, youngie.
That's wrong.
We've hit turbulence.
Can't do it these days.
Oh, no. And back then I was a lot smaller. My weight would be able to handle it now. And I'm bouncing around because we've hit turbulence. And then she's come back and she said, oh, where's John gone? And Merv said, oh, he's just gone to the loo. And she's bloody started yelling, well, the seatbelt sign's on, you know, you can't bloody go anywhere. And Merv said, oh, well, look, I can't get up to get a pillow. Can you grab me one out of the overhead locker? So she's opened it up, and I've actually fallen out on top of her, and she fell on top of Merv. And Merv thought that was hilarious, you know.
Did she laugh?
She did laugh.
Oh,
and it put a good smile on her face.
It was all worth it.
Oh, yeah, look, it was. And she came up at the end.
Maybe she just hadn't had anyone on top of her for a while.
Yep. She came up at the end.
What would you call that? A 2.5 hour or what?
1.5 hour. Well, Merv's about the size of 3. You know, Merv's about
Merv
the size
and
of 3.
Maybe 2.
But look, she apologised for the attitude that she had and things like that. So
you change a lot of attitudes too, don't you? That's your thing.
Yeah, look, that's what I like to do.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want people's disabilities to be their attitudes.
Yep.
And a lot of it is. You know, it's opening your eyes, taking off your blinkers and fixing that attitude. I enjoy doing that. I enjoy that challenge.
Are you talking a lot about mental health and anxiety and that type of thing these days with the way the world's going, where everything's so connected?
We've got a big charity thing coming up next month about that. We're going to do a big charity thing in the gym about that.
Which charity is that? You're going to be supporting?
We haven't decided yet. We like to do it for the non-for-profit ones. So we'll look around and see the... I don't like to just line some organisers' pockets. I don't like that with the charities these days. There's a lot of charities there that are in it for all the wrong reasons.
You
know? Yeah. It just infuriates me. That's another thing that they need to change the governing body of. But anyway, so we like to just do it for the non-for-profit, make sure that the actual people that are suffering are actually getting something out of it.
So
we've done a big one for domestic violence last year. And
that was huge.
And, yeah, it was big. And then the homeless people. Yeah, so we haven't picked a charity yet. But, yeah, we'll probably do that on the 20th of next month. But
you wheeled a wheelbarrow last year, didn't you?
That was for the homeless people, yeah. Well, that was, we were talking about before, Billy Cross, and they do one every year for the Rosies. But I look after a few of the home people, and we'll try to in town as well, that'll get around town, and they're always pushing their little trolleys and everything around, and they had the big drive to bring in all the food and all that sort of stuff. So I said, oh, stuff it, we'll just wheel it from here, you know. If they wheel their stuff around, then we had 24 or 48 hours to organise something. We had 4 wheelbarrows, so we just wheeled them over to Southport. And I mean, it's not a big deal. I think a lot of people just need to look out for more people than what they what they do. It doesn't take too long.
Gives you an inner happiness when you look after others.
It most certainly does, mate.
You feel good. I mean, I've experienced your officialdom when you are doing when you are speaking.
Oh yes,
you definitely feel the crowd. It's not about you. It's something that you bring a lot more than, hey, I've just gone through my basic speech I've done 1,000 times over and over. You know, you touched a couple of people in my business in a really special way when you singled them out, and one of the guys there still got the $50 note you signed for him in his wallet every day. You know, that's one of his things, remembering that he can do it if he needs to. And
good.
So just tipping back on that, the aspect of what, like, we're keeping you fit for a reason because you've got a great message to share with the world.
Yep.
Do you want to talk a little bit about your message here, mate? Like, do you want to?
One of the things, Youngie, that I think that we're lacking today is resilience, right? It's such a powerful word. And the
I just did a session with Dan Conn on that. He's a massive person with resilience.
So yeah, people, well, maybe
people,
we can,
people, you know, people DC, give up. People give up in every facet.
Yeah. Absolutely. So
it doesn't matter whether it's these days, doesn't matter whether it's relationship, training, work, everything. There's an old saying, they don't make them like they used to, but it's... JC's 100% correct. There's very little resilience these days.
When we were raised, we dropped the apple in the dirt, we picked it up and we still ate it. You know, we drank water out of a hose. You know what I mean? We pay more for our bottled water than what we do for fuel.
Some
in
people
our cars.
Won't drink water now if it's the wrong brand.
You know, that's exactly right. Okay. So, but you know, the thing is with resilience is that the kids that are being raised have no idea what resilience is because parents aren't teaching them resilience. Parents aren't saying, well, mate, you know, fucking who cares? Just dust yourself off, get up and have another go, right? We're too busy handing out ribbons to the person that run last. Why? Because we're too afraid to freaking upset them or not make them happy. For God's sakes, you want a ribbon? Run your ass off.
Yeah.
You want a ribbon? Do what's right. And if you didn't get a ribbon, work fucking harder. Make it happen, you know? Don't, oh, you know what? It doesn't matter what I run. I'm going to get a ribbon that day. Or
it's pretty hard, hard to even get kids to run these things.
Oh, with
social media and the electronic side of it now, it's just crazy.
Yeah, we didn't have that when we were kids. Yeah,
none of that. There's no mental toughness with...
Absolutely.
No mental toughness with, I think, younger people in general now because they can hide behind a keyboard or they can hide behind their phones or whatever it is. There's zero mental toughness.
But the parents are breeding them that way, Mark. They're wrapping them in cotton wool. They're wrapping them in bubble wrap. Now, they fall down the freaking crumbling stairs in bubble wrap. They're never going to get hurt. You know what I mean? Rip the bubble wrap off and take off the bloody cotton wool and push the buggers over. Break their arm. No, don't go and break their arm, but let them hurt themselves. Let them know that, you know what, that's going to heal. I'm going to be okay. You know, being called a name. Like, you want to know, mate, I've been called a million names in my life. Am I fucking dead? No, I'm not. We get up. Names don't hurt that bad. Sure, it's not nice, but deal with it. The biggest problem that this country's going to have is that these kids that have been raised in with bubble wrap and cotton wool, they're going to run this fucking country. And we're going to be pushed around by everyone else because they don't want to be bullied or they don't know what resilience is. What sort of country is this going to become? You know, we got to teach these kids it's okay to stand up for yourself.
Yeah, that's the problem. You know? No one's allowed to do anything. Well, you see, if you get bullied, you had a fight, you got over and done with, you're not condoning violence. But now you can, they got all the cyber bullying and all the social media and all that sort of stuff. There's no release from it. They don't.
Absolutely.
They don't get released at school. When we were at school, if you had I left school when I was quite young, I was 14, because I used to fight all the time for the bullet with people that got bullied. But so our principal turned up one day and he called mum and dad in and said, Mark does the right thing the wrong way all the time. I love the kid, but you can't do what he does. No one else is going to stick up for him. You know, they can't stick up for themselves.
Yep.
But every kid that I used to fight because of it, they never done it again. Mm. But now there's no accountability. There's just with the social media. If we had a fight with an argument with someone at school, when you left, you went with your mates, you went surfing, you went to footy training, and you didn't worry about till you come back the next day. Now there's no release. 2 o'clock in the morning, you're still getting, you know, they're still getting messages and abuse and that for people. And then you wake up and you're going straight back to it. That's why I'm so anti the bullying and the suicide and anxiety rate and things like that. Well, there's a big reason for it, you know.
You know, there's all these campaigns.
Is this bullshit happening overseas? Like
everywhere.
You're doing a lot of stuff in China. Like you're doing a lot of stuff.
It's
in China.
Everywhere.
It is.
And, this is what we're not preparing people for, Youngie. Is that, you know, there's all these campaigns. Let's stop bullying and blah. We will never stop bullying. Let's get serious, okay? Bullying will not fucking stop.
Yep.
But what is going to be better if we teach people how to deal with it? The reason it won't stop is because it's in schools. It's in the workplace.
Is it any worse than what it used to be? That was just people just can't deal with it.
The thing that's worse is the social media aspect, but bullying comes from the top end now, but it comes from the
government. Have a look at our politicians. You know that some people
fight with each other.
You know in the different the different departments of you know whether it's police this that it's coming from everywhere.
It's not going to stop.
But we
got to teach the people how to deal with it, how to handle the situation instead of trying to rub it out, which we've been trying for the last 10 years to stop it. It's not working. So let's look at other factors. Okay, how can we handle the situation? What can we teach our kids coming through the system? You know, it's sure, it's maybe bad it's being called bully.
It's just a simple but hard nut sometimes.
It's not the worst thing that's going to happen to you.
Sticks
you
and know? Stones may break
sticks
my
and
bones.
Stones. That used to be a great old saying. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. You know, like, for God's sakes, let's take off this bubble wrap.
You went through some bullshit as a kid, didn't you?
I got thrown in a bin, for Christ's sakes. I got thumbtacks pushed in my hands. I got friggin'... My feet got cut open during an exam. Like, for God's sakes, you want to swap people? Get up here. I'll swap any day. Being called names is nothing.
You wouldn't swap them now anyway.
Oh, no way. But you know what the scary thing? You know the real scary thing is that I would go through it all again to be right where I am right now. Absolutely.
I love hearing that.
I have a beautiful life, mate. And not one thing, youngie, has been handed to me on a silver platter. I've had to fucking work for everything I've had. I don't even know what a silver platter looks like. I've had to work for everything. It's
silver. It looks like a plate and it's silver.
Between white and gold.
Yeah. It's silver and it's a plate.
That's a footballer's sense
of humor. I'll show you.
Can we order John a silver platter after this? Like, can you just bring one
in? Greg's lunch is probably on my
head. Probably.
Here we go.
We're bringing it up to
just
him.
Just bring Greg's lunch out.
She gets up every day just so she can put my food on the silver platter.
I'm sure she does. But you know what I mean? Like, when your young bloke, with the challenges that he's at, he would have copped a few names and all that going
through. Oh, mate, he got heaps meeting you. Like, you really changed him as a human.
He's a good kid, mate. Yeah. He's a really, really good kid. I have a lot of respect for him. Taj has come a long way, mate. He really has.
I trained some disabled kids. I've trained them. Just in my own time, every Wednesday now for probably about 4 years, and one of them is Jimmy in a wheelchair. Funny, he's not a kid, but
you nearly said the other word.
Yeah, he was able-bodied till he's 19, drunk driving.
Yeah,
put into a car. That would be the hardest.
So he's been able to.
He's a funny bugger.
He's a funny bugger. JC gave him a book and signed his book, and he carries it. He brings it with his wheelchair all the time, with that in his People magazine, the other side of it.
As long as my pages
aren't
together, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, there's no photos in JCC's runs. It's all right. But he still carries around, so sometimes he can make an impact when you don't really know you are. You know? Mm. So if that's something that helps Jimmy, day to day, then it's good, So
it's good. Jimmy's got a lot of determination in him too, mate.
Yeah, Jimmy's
and the thing is that you make it fun for him too.
Oh, his care has come in. I'm sure I've had that many complaints, but his care, I just treat him just like he's completely normal.
But that's
what I do with everyone. Yeah, that's exactly I'm right. me and that's it.
And you run a fairly big therapy class every day. You bought out, what was the name of your functional, you bought out your functional training circuit, what was that called?
Fastlane.
Yeah, Fastlane.
Yeah. Fastlane
50. And I see the crowd, like I watch on Insta, you got some big turnouts every day. Obviously you're doing a lot of therapy there for people that people love getting out and having a crack.
Well, then they have a crack too, let me tell you. Yeah. Mum gets into them, Jimmy gets into them, mate.
So what's your philosophy behind them?
The Fastlane was just another form of exercise that it's just another format that's nothing that, fantastic that I come up with. It's just a form that we've been doing for a long time, but it's the same as F45s and stuff like that. So we did Fastlane is just a high-intensity workout for 50 seconds on, 10 seconds off for 10 stations.
Yep.
So it's 10 minutes one station, then we have four lanes of it. So that's hence why we called it Fastlane. Yeah, so now we're branching off to not only be like a high intensity class, it can be same format structure, can be most, so we have fast lane fighter and kettlebell classes and all that sort of stuff as well. But again, our gym's just it's a little community. People push each other, and we got a busy gym, but I've had the business here now for 14 years, so I've had the business since I first come back from London. 14 years this year, next month I think, so I've still got 8 people that I've trained for 14 years that started. So there's 8 of them that
that's a testament, isn't it?
There's 8 of them that I 8 of
is
my,
it a testament that they're not training hard enough and they're not
Got the results yet in 14 years.
Mate, you keep walking in and setting goals.
Yeah,
mate, we just encourage people to just, I'm pretty old fashioned, like you get what you see with me, so we just encourage people to just rip in, have a go, don't make excuses. And there's no use blaming us if you're not making excuses, if you're not eating your right foods out, and it will give you every tool to get what result you want, but you can't blame us if you're not doing that.
You know what excuses are?
I'm keen to hear what your version of
excuses. They're for people that don't believe in themselves. That's what they are. So my challenge to you right now is that for next Wednesday the 3rd, let's see, in the Wednesday the 3rd, you're going to be in Wicked Pod's gym in Surfers Paradise above Mount Brenner. We're going a few rounds. You're in?
I'm in.
Yeah. But actually, you need to come along and video it.
I thought he was going to tell you to do it as well with your boots on.
Yeah. Those beautiful purple boots. Are they steel capped? Not yet. I know, you heard it here first.
Yeah, man, I'm looking forward to having a train with you. I just love what you guys do. I'd never seen it before. Like when you first said to me, check out some of these training videos, what would that mean? 2-3 years ago?
Yeah, 3 years ago.
3 years ago?
Yep.
I just was like, I'm never doing that.
And you stuck to your word.
I stuck to my word. So,
I've only asked you 55
times. I'm not sure
times.
About lying on my back doing ropes behind my head. That's going to, I'm going to find muscles just, no, I didn't
we'll,
know
we'll
existed.
Do easy. We'll just do boxing on that day.
All mate, right. The last boxing. Thing I want you to do is go easy on me because you said that, because I will never live that shit down. Ever.
It's going completely against what he always did going
exactly. easy. Absolutely.
And I'm sure that won't be the theory when I hit it anyway.
He's shitting himself already, look.
I've got a little sweat going, yeah. I'm more worried about Mark standing over the top of me with no shorts on. Gotta go down and get him a nice pair of so small shorts.
Yeah,
nice. Speedos.
Yeah.
Just drop it out the side then.
So any throwaways, boys? Like anything you wanted to, like last words of wisdom? There's been a fair bit of it through this already.
I just... Look, we've covered a lot of stuff, okay? But I'm sitting here right now with two guys that have greatly influenced my life in similar ways, but yet very different ways. I think the similar ways are the gratitude, the kindness, and everything that you both have given me over the years has been great. Obviously, Greg, you know, with the wonderful supplements here from BSC, and to be part of the BSC family is an absolute privilege.
We love having you on board,
you know,
too,
mate. And look, I love it. I love ringing up the girls and straight away. I am a little bit disappointed that I still haven't got a pair of socks yet. So, you know, I've seen on Insta everywhere and all over social media, you got these BSC socks. I got fucking nothing. Absolutely nothing.
What are you holding your hands up for socks?
Yeah, that's it. Well, we should get some gloves done, actually.
Can you get some? I'm going to put some on his ears.
Make sure they're big. Look at the size of my ears.
White or black?
White.
That's racist.
And then obviously Mark, you know, with what he does, I had to tuck him straight into my dacks, you know. So, and then with what Mark does for me, you know, on the fitness side of things and the health side of things. Look, I've done a lot of training, as I said, and I've trained with the New South Wales Institute in past lives and the Australian Institute and stuff. But the physical training that I get to do at Wicked Bods is something that I actually look forward to it every day. And I think only out of the 3 years that we've been training, I think maybe that I would have cancelled maybe 3 or 4 times, and that's generally because I'm stuck on the can. I can't get off. Or I don't think I've never ever not turned up.
No, he loves
because
his training,
I even when I'm a little bit crook, you know. In fact, it's only ever been if I'm stuck on the can or I've got a stomach strain. That's the only times that I've not turned up.
Yeah. But even you trained through that for.
And even now, I trained through it because I just love it. I really love it. And you know, Mark's like a brother of mine. And
it's good for his mental state too.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's good for everyone's mental state. Everyone in the gym. It's good for Mark too. You know, I'm very grateful to the pair of you for the way that you have both taken me under your wings, and you know, we're together. So, and we're going to punish you next Wednesday. Just remember that.
What was that date again?
Yeah. Don't worry. Morgs has got it, mate. She's got yours sorted.
I'll pencil it in, but it's 30, not penned 30, in.
Next Wednesday.
Lock it in.
Yeah. What time do you want to do it, mate? You need to check your calendar.
Yeah, I'll check
your
calendar. Yeah.
Make sure you tell us.
Oh, mate, I think we've covered everything.
Yeah.
I just like to keep it real. And
that's it.
My message to anyone is keep it real. Don't put limitations on yourself. And yeah, just have a go.
Yeah, speaking of just keeping it real, if you don't mind if I have the last word, is that there?
Oh, you're always going to anyway.
There I was.
We both knew that was happening.
Yeah. Now, there's an old saying, you go out there and you give it 110%. I fucking hate that.
You can't give more than
100%. You can't give 110%. What are you going to do? Chop off someone's arm and take it with you to help? You can't do that. But you know what's better than a fake 110%? The real 100%. And no matter what it is you choose to do, no matter what shoes you are wearing at that time, you got your sports shoes on, you give 100% of your sport. You give your work shoes on, you give 100% of your work.
Take responsibility, you know, for your own actions.
Absolutely.
I think there's too many.
And 100%.
Too many people and too many 100%. Facets that don't take responsibility for their own actions,
yep.
Whether it's in the gym or work or anyone. You know, if
it's too easy to pass.
You can't give 50% and expect 100% results.
Mm-hmm.
You must give 100% to get 100% back.
Absolutely. So thanks.
Man, thank
I
you,
love
mate.
It. So if you hit it in Surfers Paradise, you're coming up for a holiday, you're traveling internationally or over Christmas, New Year, wickedbods.com, can we walk in and have a session with you?
Come
guys?
In and see us, mate. We're happy to help you. Yeah.
Right above Max Brenner, mate.
Well, it's in the middle of Surfers, isn't it?
It is in the middle of Surfers.
Yeah. Chevron Renaissance.
So anyone up on the Goldie or come to the Gold Coast, you can book through wickedbods.com.
Yep.
Sweet as. John Curtis, if you want to jump on YouTube, just type John Curtis.
It's John Curtis or across all my social media at John Curtis or websites, johncurtis.com. That's all been revamped and all brand new as well.
Yep, perfect.
Yep.
Great.
Yep.
So, look, you put up a daily motivational thing on YouTube, is that right? Or try to?
Try to. Yeah. On Insta, I do.
On Insta?
Yeah.
So catch on Insta. That's at John Curtis.
At John Coutts, that's it. Yeah, that's JohnCoutis.
Time well spent if you are going to waste it on social.
Something.
Yeah, of course.
Get in the gym, guys. Have fun. I've really enjoyed talking
Thank
to you.
Thank you, mate.
It's been
thanks for having us.
Yeah.
See you on Wednesday.
Yeah, boom.
Yeah. See you, mate.
See you, mate.
G'day, guys. John Coutts here. You might know me as a guy with no legs that rides a skateboard. You've seen me climbing shelves in Woolworths or Coles or whatever supermarket I might be in. If you're looking for a little bit of inspiration, please get onto my social media, johncoutts.com, or across Instagram, Twitter, any of those things. Just look up my handle, JohnCoutis. That's John Coutts. If you're passing through the Gold Coast, whether you're on holidays or coming up for work and you're into your health and fitness, you're looking for a gym, there is no better gym on the coast than Wicked Bod's Fitness Center. Situated in the Chevron Renaissance Center in the middle of Surfers Paradise, it's one of the best gyms on the coast. So make sure, get into it, get up there, lift some weights, pump some iron, get that attitude going. You know why I love it? Because it's where I train. Wicked Bod's Fitness Center, Chevron Renaissance, middle of Surfers. See you there.
Today's podcast was brought to you by our partners in Fit, Happy and Healthy, ASN, Nutrition Warehouse, DY Discount Vitamins, Fat Burners Only, Evelyn Fay, Mr. Supplement, or find a retailer online at bodyscience.com.au/retailers.